And inside your bulletin is something taped to it inside. Some of them have one key in there, some of them have two. Share them around. Today is our first week of the prayer and fast. And these messages that we'll be sharing next week, Rick Cromie will be sharing a message. Today's message is heart prep, the key to hearing God. Okay, that's why the key is, you have a key in there. Put that key in your pocket, put it on your keychain, put it somewhere that you see it or feel it regularly, and let it be a reminder of what this message is about today. So we're going to begin in our prayer and fast, and whether you're fasting or not, okay, I want you to hear this. Whether you're fasting or not, you're praying, right? Everybody can pray and approach God. We're asking God in this prayer and fast, these 3 weeks, of Lord, what's your direction for us as a church family? Where would you have us go? Are there attitude changes we need to make? Are there ministries we need to develop? Are there commitment levels that need to be raised? Father, help us in that. You see, so we're praying in this kind of direction. And I'm going to begin today with Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that is, justified by our faith in God. Justified means what? Means that God treats me as if my sins have been paid for. That's what justified means. God treats me as if my sins have been paid for because they have been paid for. All right? I learned it this way, the word justified, God sees me justified, never sinned. Well, that's not true. I have sinned. But God does treat me as if my sins have been paid for. And so we want to receive that. Will you receive that today? Will you receive that you've been justified? God treats your sins as if they've been paid for? What does that mean? That means that He is approachable. You don't approach Him as a sinner. You approach Him as what Paul says to the Christians in Ephesus and in Philippi, saints. You are a saint, one who is holy. Hagios, everybody say the word hagios. Or hagioi means, in the Greek, means holy. Set apart for a special service, special relationship with God. And that's who you are in Christ. You are justified. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Do you have peace with God today? Can you say, I can approach my God and my King fearlessly? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. Hear that word, access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. In which we now stand. And so today, we stand in grace, covered by the blood, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So I'm opening this message with this. You have access to God. Okay? You have access. Everybody say, I have access to God. I have access to God. And it's an open door. You don't have to grovel before Him as someone fearful. You can approach Him boldly. We're going to talk about that in a moment. So you have access, equal access. You have equal access with Billy Graham. You have equal access with Martin Luther years ago. You have equal access with your person sitting right next to you. You have equal access to this grace in which we now stand. So don't think that you cannot approach God. So let's talk about five reasons you can pray successfully. First of all, you are constantly welcomed by God to be with Him in prayer. He loves having you with Him. So when I was sitting here holding that little guy, and all he had to do was be there, licking the candy cane, and spending time, you are constantly welcome by God into prayer with Him, to talk with Him, or to be quiet with Him. Oops. Yep. Forgot to turn it down. Trying to contact the earthling. So you're constantly welcome by Him. And in prayer, you are approaching God through His grace and His truth, okay? Romans 5:2, you have access to this grace in which you now stand. What that means is this: God is saying to you, I'm keeping you. I'm keeping you, okay? Anybody here sin last night? Yeah, we've sinned, okay? And then you come to church and you think, oh, why? I don't even deserve to be here. I just feel so dark or dirty or whatever. Well, God has taken care of that problem with us. He has taken care of that problem with us by giving us the Christian's bar of soap. You've heard me talk about that before, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How much is all? All. Yeah. And so God has taken care of the problem. I'm keeping you. Okay, you be the little boy or the little girl sitting on God's lap. And let Him keep you. Let your heart, because here's what happens in prayer. We enter prayer as business with God, right? Lord, we got, this church needs to do, and we don't know what to, Lord, we need your, and it's all business. I don't think God wants business first. He wants you first, your heart first. Let Him keep you. Just rest in Him. So when I'm in my office having my personal prayer time, I'll just either hum a song to God. I'll read scripture quietly to myself. And I'll just sit with Him, close my eyes, and let my Father be my Father. Because I've got a lot of business in my head I'm thinking about, and I can miss relationship with God. You can miss relationship with God if we jump right into business with Him. So let Him keep you. So you approach God with grace, through grace and truth. John 16:13 is where John is telling us about the Holy Spirit, His role and relationship with us is this, John 16:13. I have much more to say to you, more than you can hear now, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit is here to teach us. later on in John, it's to convict us of sin, judgment, and righteousness. Brothers and sisters, you're approaching God in grace and truth. Grace says, I'm keeping you. Truth says, I'm teaching you a better way. Do you ever approach God in prayer to say, Lord, I'm stuck in this sin rut. I've been here so long, I don't think I even know how to get out. And let him teach you in truth. Truth sometimes hurts, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. And truth can be kind of painful. And God can bring truth to you through Scripture. God can bring truth to you through a trusted friend, through a sermon, through a song. And let that truth, let the truth do its work, okay? Because, I need somebody else up here. I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer to come on up. Okay, here comes Marcus. He's kind of big to get around. Big, powerful guy. Mark, God has got some truth coming at him. And Mark has said, I'm letting God keep me. Okay? And then the truth comes, and it feels like, oh, that hurt. You must not be very close. True or not true? Not true. God is keeping. In the midst of keeping is the keeping of truth. It is an assurance that truth doesn't mean I'm leaving you. Okay? Because have you ever had somebody say to you, I need to talk to you? And you think, oh no. And you start to emotionally distance yourself from that person. What did I do wrong? It feels scary. Okay? Don't let it do that. God is here, and God is keeping you. First and foremost, I'm keeping Mark. Mark, can I talk to you? And here comes some truth. But because Mark's heart is settled that we're buds, that we're together, that we're okay with each other, he can stay here in the truth and let the truth do its work. Thank you, Mark. This is important for us. Don't let fear of being in trouble put distance between you and God. So approach God in grace and in truth. Number three, approach God with boldness or confidence. Hebrews chapter 4. I love this verse. I could say it's one of my favorites. You know anybody else who says that? Hebrews 4:16 says this. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that, or for the purpose of, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Okay, time of need. That includes sin, by the way. When you're in sin, you are saying this to God, I don't need you here, I've got it figured out. When you're in sin, you're saying, God, I'll meet my needs my way instead of letting you meet my needs your way. And if that makes you uncomfortable, I'm glad. Let the truth make you uncomfortable and bring you to repentance. But come to the throne in confidence that God is receiving you. Oh, he loves you. If I could just make you receive all the love, the fullness, Ephesians says, the fullness of God, the fullness of his love. But the only thing I can do is introduce you to him. I can only introduce you to his love. He loves you like crazy. The cross is proof of that. You can approach him with confidence. You don't have to grovel. You don't have to fear. You don't have to crawl to the throne. God says, I love you. I'm keeping you. Fourthly, approach God with faith. Trust that you belong in the throne room with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're kind of dancing through scripture here today. Verse 21, the last verse of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to take on your sin, to bear that burden, to take on that separation and bear it himself so that you didn't have to. No wonder Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken? Where did you go? In the moment that Jesus took all our sin upon himself, it's like God saying to Adam and Eve, where are you? Why did you leave? Are you hiding? God made Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Do you consider yourself righteous today? That you get to approach God. Fifthly, approach God with anticipation. You are asking God to do things, now get it, here it comes, that he already wants to do. You know, if you as a kid is asking your dad for a bicycle and he already wants to give you one, how much do you have to beg for it? You don't. He already wants to give it to you. You're entering into relationship with God to give him, to ask of him stuff he wants to already give to you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Very familiar passage, but I think we just kind of breeze over it and not really take it to heart. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This is where Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. Okay? Now, let's think of, as I read this, think of this as things God already wants to give you. Okay? Here we go. Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy, respectful is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. You see, what's already a yes in heaven, God wants to make a yes on earth. Now, this is exciting. When you pray, don't pray, oh God, if it's kind of sort of your kind of will, would you please sort of like maybe let that happen? No. God already has a yes in heaven as to what he wants to happen on earth. When you ask for someone to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you crave that because that's already a yes in heaven, isn't it? And you pray it until it's a yes on earth. Now, you may never see it in your lifetime, but God is acting and he's working at it. George Mueller, a London man who started orphanages back in the 1800s in London. And he prayed like that. He prayed, there's a yes in heaven, it's going to be a yes on earth. And he prayed in every penny to support these orphanages. And he prayed for friends. And the reason we know that he prayed for friends is he kept a log, a prayer log. And in that prayer log or that prayer journal, he prayed for two friends. And he prayed for 50 years. You can look through his journals and see for 50 years he prayed. George died before those men became Christians, but they became Christians. What's a yes in heaven, God wants to be a yes on earth. And God has chosen to work through your prayers. He's working through your prayers. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. God already wants to do that. He already wants to supply. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. God wants to forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Notice that Jesus rightly here, very wisely, does not say, and deliver the evil one from us. He says, deliver us from the evil one. If you're going to be away from evil, you got to move. You got to move. It's your work. And it's a yes in heaven that you move away from evil. Work at it till it's a yes on earth in your own life. Step away from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Look, what he already wants his will to be done on earth. He already wants to meet your daily needs. He already wants to forgive your sin. He already wants to lead you away from evil temptations. Whoa! Now, I don't know if you're hearing this today, but I want you to hear the key, it's in your bulletin, the key to prayer is to approach God relationally first. Because he has things he wants to give you. And God has, even though he's sovereign meaning God doesn't need anyone's help to be God, even though he's sovereign, he can do anything he wants, he has chosen to limit himself and his power to work through your prayers. Do you agree with that or disagree with that? God has chosen to limit himself and say, I'm going to work through the praises and the prayers of my people. Don't you ever think that your prayers don't matter, that they don't influence the kingdom of heaven. God has chosen to work through your prayer. He has chosen to make you himself so available to you, so that you can approach him with confidence and that you can call him Abba, Papa, Daddy, that kind of relationship. It's not business. He loves you as his child, adopted, called his very own. He has things he already wants to give you. Ask for them and believe you're receiving them. Sometimes we struggle with unforgiveness of self. Have you ever struggled with that? And so you pray, God, please forgive me. God answers that prayer, but you still feel guilty. Oh, I still feel so guilty. But God has given you forgiveness. What are you going to choose to live in? What truth says happened, God forgave your sin, or how you feel? Because feelings can be so strong sometimes, they feel like truth. But you've got to stand on the word of God. God forgave you. You asked. He already wants to give it, remember? He wants to give it. And he gave it to you. You're forgiven. Everybody say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
Because he was forsaken. I was accepted. You were condemned. God proves his love for you. Let's close this today with a few thoughts about praying to hear and record your thoughts to God. First of all, write down what you want your church to become. Write it down. What do you want your church to be? Do you want to see more people coming to the Lord? Do you want to see a fuller a building? Do you want to see more people involved in ministry? Write that down. Put your heart's desire for your church on paper and then do this with it. Set it aside. And for the next 3 weeks, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be setting that aside and saying, God, what do you want? Because I want what you want, and you already want to give good things to this congregation. You already want to give good things. So I'm just going to set that aside. Now, God may already give you what you've asked for or what you'd like to see in his church. Maybe that's coming, but let's set it aside. And the reason for setting that aside is this. Number one, we clear our slate and we said, God, I want what you want because what you want is best. Your wisdom sees far beyond where our wisdom looks. And secondly, when we all come together and we have set aside our own personal desires and we come together and we hear God with one voice and one ear, we have unity that withstands pressure. Did you hear it? You have a unity because we said, yes, God, to this direction. We said that together. There's unity. But you have to set aside what you want. And let God give you what He wants for your church. Secondly, God gave us brains to think with, and He often speaks to us through our thoughts that are in agreement with Scripture. The Bible is His thoughts to us. He has given us, every Christian, the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He has given you how to think like Jesus thinks. Get in your Word and get in there every day. Let the Word of God get in you. And think like Jesus thinks. Thirdly, God has ordained that even though He is sovereign, He has chosen to work largely through the preaching and prayers of His church, 1 Peter chapter 4. He works through us. Your prayers are significant to the kingdom of God in Athena and beyond. Your prayers are significant. They're not unimportant. Spend some time with Him. And then write your thoughts that come to you. It might be just a few words. God has already given me a couple of words in terms of direction. And I'm just being quiet with that. But just jot it down. Write it down. When God speaks to you, write it down. Okay? Because in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be asking you as a congregation to write down your thoughts, bring them together, and the elders and the staff are going to pray over these. We're going to ask God to bring, you know, if there's 20 different directions there, we're going to bring those down and ask God to give us one or two to work on this year. Because we can't do 20 very well, can we? But we can do one or two really deeply, and that's what we need to do. So I believe God is giving us a unified vision together. Do you? Do you? Let's respond to God together. Enter into a time to enjoy God and listen to Him throughout the day. Enter into a time of relationship with your Father. Okay? This is your Father. He's not the CEO. He's not there to do business. He's there to be with you first and then talk about how to do life in a different way. If I could encourage you this year to write down one habit you have, for example, that you know is not of God, and that you're going to spend this next 365 days working on changing your values about that thing to God's values, making a plan on how you're going to do that. Larry Kopic has a great group about how to change your values to God's values. Finally, today, brothers and sisters, God wants you with Him. Will you be with Him? Will you turn off the TV? Will you silence your phone? Will you get off of Facebook and spend time with your Father who has given you great access to grace and truth, who made Himself so available to you, and wants you to first know His heart for you, and then the truth of how to live better in His ways. You'll notice in your sermon outline that there's a couple of questions for your ABF time, just to discuss a little bit there, not to take your whole ABF time, but just kick those thoughts around during your ABF time in the second hour. Rick Cromie will be here next Sunday to preach and share. Oh, I pray you'll come to the workshop. I love you. I believe in you. I hope you'll let the love of God just soak into your life so much that you just can't help but say, I love Jesus, and I got something good to share. Woohoo, right. Let's stand together and sing.